Welcome to the Calvary St. George's Sermon Podcast, proclaiming the historic faith of Christ and Him crucified. These podcasts are recorded and produced by the Parish of Calvary St. George's in the city of New York. For more information, head to calvarystgeorges.org.
The gospel passage we've just heard and the sermon that you're about to hear both can be summed up by what happens in the final 30 seconds of a movie that was named Best Picture by the Academy Awards of 2009. The movie is called Slumdog Millionaire. And in this film, a young man and a young woman fall deeply in love, but they're never able to connect. And along the way, each one of them is physically tortured by some bad guys. And in particular, the woman receives a terrible wound across her cheek. But finally, they do manage to find each other. And as the film ends, the two of them kiss for the first time. I expected to see a passionate embrace. What I saw was the young man leaning over and gently placing his lips on the scar of the cheek of the woman. And that moment is the gospel in a nutshell. A scarred God kissing our own scars and offering us forgiveness and healing and hope. So that's it. That's the end of the sermon. But let me head toward the ending one more time by a slightly longer route. And this longer route has to do with a nickname that I was given in grade school. Because of my last name, and listen, I'm asking you to be really nice to me about this. Because of my last name, some of my so-called friends in grade school would call me Marilyn Monroe. So, and I tell you this because in today's gospel, we have a man who has a similar problem. We have a man who is saddled with an unfair nickname. The man, of course, is the Apostle Thomas, and as you know, his nickname is Doubting Thomas. And that is a terrible injustice. The nickname Doubting carries with it the implications of being wishy-washy or weak or cowardly. And in fact, Thomas is the opposite of those implications. Let me just ask you a question. What would it take for you to drop everything in your life that gives you stability in order to pursue some dream? What would it take for you to let go of everything that offers you security in order to follow some vision? Well, that's what Thomas does. Thomas meets this itinerant rabbi, and Thomas has enough courage, and he somehow is grasped enough by a vision to be able to get way out on the end of the limb in faith. He just leaves it all behind in order to follow this man. This man who is saying that our connection with God is no longer based on judgment, but rather on mercy. This man who's saying that our relationship with God is no longer founded on the law, but rather on grace. So then, the next time we see Thomas, Jesus is telling him that he's getting ready to go to Jerusalem. And the other disciples try to stop Jesus. They tell him it's too dangerous. The cops are out to get him. What does Thomas say? He says, and I quote, "Let us also go that we may die with him." So, not very optimistic maybe, but what loyalty, what love, what getting out on the limb for someone else. So then the next time we see Thomas is at the Last Supper, and Jesus is talking again about his death being just around the corner, and he tells the disciples that they know where he's going. How does Thomas respond? He's so honest. He says, "Lord, you know, we don't know where you're going, How can we know the way? And Jesus answers with those words that echo down through the ages. Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. So let's forget doubting Thomas. Let's go with loyal Thomas. Let's go with loving Thomas. Let's go with honest Thomas. Let's go with courageous Thomas. Those are a lot more accurate. Because then we come to that last week, and we can scarcely imagine what it must have been like for Thomas to go from that Alleluia parade on Palm Sunday to the cry of a dying man on a cross just 5 days later. We can scarcely imagine the emptiness in Thomas's spirit as the body of his beloved friend is placed in a borrowed tomb. You know, there's a song by Hank Williams that's titled Men with Broken Hearts. And in that song, there's a line that reads, "Have you ever watched with helpless hands while the heart inside you dies?" And that's Thomas. Then we come to the resurrection. And we can understand Thomas at this point. If you can think back the times in your childhood when something exciting happened and you were left out, when there was some special party and you weren't invited, when there was a group of special friends and you were not included. Because all of these disciples have this amazing experience of seeing Jesus alive again. All of them, except Thomas. And Thomas is too honest to lean his weight on second-hand evidence. Thomas has the courage to say out loud the same thing that every single person here this morning, me first, has thought or felt or said at one time or another in one way or another. Unless I see the nail holes, unless I have some proof, I don't think I'm able to get out on that limb because it's a little scary out there. It's a little bit like that crusty old big city newspaper editor who was teaching a young reporter about needing to the importance of verifying his facts and having proof. And so the crusty old editor says to the news reporter, "If your mother says she loves you, check it out." Have the courage, have the honesty to need a first-hand experience. So that is why, finally, we come to today's gospel. And we see how God responds to Thomas's honesty. Jesus appears right in the middle of the disciples. He spots Thomas, and he walks right over to him. He looks him right in the eye. He holds out his hand. I imagine that he is smiling. And I imagine that he says in a sweet, quiet voice, "Thomas, here are the nail holes. And look, here's where the spear went in." And it's the moment when the miracle happens. Thomas says, "My Lord, my God." And he steps over the line into a relationship with the living God. And you see what finally does it for Thomas. It's not the secondhand evidence of the other disciples. It's not a vague emotional feeling of loyalty. It's not the teachings of Jesus before he died. It is coming face to face with those nail holes on the cross, with those scarred, living hands. It is Thomas bringing his own scars to be kissed by the scars of Jesus. And I believe that this encounter of Thomas with Jesus is offered right here in our midst this morning as well. And I want to close, really, by offering a little picture of how that may be this morning. In my former church up in Massachusetts, we had a group that used to go out on Monday evenings in the winter looking for folk who were sleeping outdoors. And on one particular Monday, around midnight, We were all in a van, and we saw a woman standing by herself on the sidewalk in downtown Springfield. And so we stopped, and we wondered if she needed some help. We rolled down the window of the van. We said hi. She smiled at us, and then she said, "Does anyone in the van want anything?" And we realized that she was a prostitute. So we said, "Sure, we would like to pray for you." And she told us her name was Maria, and she said that she would be glad for us to pray. In the van with us that evening was a young friend of ours from Rwanda, and her name was Violet Uwira. Violet had been 4 years old when the genocide hit Rwanda in 1994, and you recall that over 800,000 people were slaughtered within 100 days. Violet's own Batwa tribe, a tribe of pygmies, had 10,000 people in her tribe who were killed. And in the van that night, Violet said that she would like to pray for Maria. And as she prayed, she began to weep. And when the prayer was over, Violet told us that she was weeping because she had seen so many women forced into prostitution during the genocide, and meeting Maria had brought back those memories. And then, sitting in the van at midnight, Violet gave us one more of her memories. She told us that during the worst of the violence, she and her family were forced to run away from their village. And they fled on foot for many days. And on the second day, Violet at one point sat down in the road and said to her mother, "I cannot go on. I want to die." And when her mother asked why, Violet pointed to her own feet. She didn't have any shoes. Her feet were swollen. They were covered with cuts and blisters and sores. There was a doctor in their group. The doctor said that if Violet survived at all, there was a chance that she might lose her feet. Violet's mother knelt down in front of her, and she bathed the feet of Violet as best she could, and then she cut strips of cloth from her own dress and wrapped them around Violet's feet. And then she held Violet's feet and prayed. And as her mother prayed, Violet joined our friend Thomas in that upper room. As her mother prayed, Violet knew that a scarred God was kissing her own scars. Today, Violet is back in Rwanda. Her feet are fine. And she tells me that it is physically impossible for her to walk by a stranger in the road who doesn't have shoes without stopping to take off her own shoes and give them to the stranger. She said that it's driving her mother crazy having to buy so many new shoes. And Violet just says, "God kissed my feet." A scarred God this morning, kissing our own scars. That's where the invitation this morning to join Thomas is found. This invitation to join Thomas in saying, "My Lord, my God," and to step over the line. A scarred God, kissing our own scars that we brought in this morning. Right here. Right now. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our sermon podcast, produced and recorded at the Parish of Calvary St. George's in the city of New York. If you feel led to support the continuing ministry of the parish, you can make an online donation at calvarystgeorges.org/giving. Thank you.